One of the hardest parts of being a Navy SEAL isn't knowing when to shoot, it's knowing when not to shoot. And we know why. If you put a dozen guys in a dark room and arm them with automatic weapons, somebody's going to blink, or twitch. Then it's game on. That's what made capturing Al-Wazoo such a challenge. More than anything else, the SEALs needed him alive. It was late September 2004 at a forward operating base in the northeastern corner of Afghanistan. A couple of dozen members of the elite SEAL Team 6, or in their preferred parlance, DEVGRU, were stationed there, gathering intelligence and staging missions. Some 6 months prior, a radio operator had noticed a spike in Wazoo chatter. Perhaps he was hiding in the woods to the south of them. Possibly he was in the mountains to the north. Then the rumors turned into facts. Wazoo actually was in the woods and the mountains, holed up in an alpine forest some 70 miles west of their current position. For the SEALs, this wasn't good news. The terrain to the west was high desert, lonely, barren, and rough. Not enough cover for a stealth mission. Under these conditions, there was no way to get in without a firefight. No guarantee they could capture Wazoo alive. Though he was once a mid-level player, Al-Wazoo's notoriety had skyrocketed after he'd pulled off a feat no other Al-Qaeda operative had accomplished, an escape from an American detention center. This single act elevated him to the upper echelons of the organization, earning him a band of committed followers and that ultimate jihadi honor, a personal letter of commendation from Osama bin Laden. Ever since, Wazoo had been busy, recruiting, raiding, and killing. That's why the SEALs needed him alive. His value as an intelligence asset had quadrupled. There was enough in his head to take down most of the remaining cells in the area. Plus, the SEALs wanted to send a message. And that day in September, they got their chance. The radio call came in the afternoon. Al-Wazoo was on the move. He'd come out of the woods and down from the mountains. He was heading straight for them. For the SEALs, this changed everything. With a moving target, the variables multiplied exponentially. Anything could happen. The team got together and combed through the mission. Contingency plans were put into place. Details were committed to memory. Day turned into night, and night rolled on. They only had 5 hours until dawn, and still no target. The SEALs needed the darkness. Their mission got much more complicated during the day. There were more people awake and more traffic on the roads, and too many ways a suspect could disappear into a crowd. Then, after all that waiting, they suddenly had a target. Al-Wazoo had stopped. Only a few hours of darkness remained, and the SEALs couldn't believe their luck. He'd holed up less than a mile from their current position. They could literally walk to the op. Commander Rich Davis, for security, not his real name, wasn't sure it was luck. As the leader of this unit, he knew how badly his men wanted Al-Wazoo. They were keyed up. A mile hike wasn't much. Davis would have preferred a 3-hour uphill slog. 3 hours wouldn't tire them out, but it might calm them down, might help them focus, might help them merge. The Greeks had a word for this merger that Davis quite liked. Ecstasis, the act of stepping beyond oneself. Davis had his own word as well. He called it the switch. The moment they stopped being separate men with lives and wives and things that matter. The moment they became, well, there's no easy way to explain it. But something happened out there.